I went back into the archives for this lesson. This is a lesson that I wrote in December of 1977. And there was no internet back then, and there was no Wikipedia back then, so I had to go to the library and pull out the big reference books, and that's where I got the information. This little lesson is on the apostles of Jesus, and I gave it back in 77, and I think I've given it another time since. But it's the apostle Jesus, and following Brian and Drew's, I'm doing a little character study tonight. We're going to go through this pretty quick, but who were the apostles? And that was a question that I was trying to answer when I did the research on this back in 77. Were they supermen, or were they just extraordinary? What type of men were the apostles? And, you know, they were given such a tremendous job, the duty to establish churches, to administer to the needs of the churches, their duty to be an example to the world. Men that were given special powers, they could raise the sick, they could raise the dead, they could heal the sick, they could cast out demons. All of these many powers that these men were given. What type of men were the apostles? Were they really supermen? No, they weren't. They were just ordinary people. They were as ordinary as we are today. They had strengths. They had their abilities. They had faith, and they had conviction, and they had compassion. But they were very ordinary people with the same weaknesses and the frailties that we have today. But they were instrumental in planting the gospel of Christ all over the world at the time that they were sent out. I'm not trying to place too much emphasis on these men because they did what Jesus had told them to do. The glory goes to God. But for a short time today, and I'm going to really cut this back so we don't stay here too long, but we're going to talk about the 14 apostles and give just a little bit of information about these men and who they were and what they did and how they died. Let's go to Heavenly Father to work. The apostles were a very ordinary group of people. They were not superhumans. They were not supermen. But they were ordinary men that in fact did super duty and super jobs. And all but one of them gave their life in a very horrendous way for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to go through these very quickly. I'm just going to hit the high points. But we're going to hit all 14 of them and see what we can. Just to remember what these men, who these men are and what they did. Simon Peter was one of the first apostles. His name was Simon in the original Greek, in the original Jew. His Greek name was Cephas. Cephas, this means Peter or rock. His father was Jonas. He was from Bethsaida and Capernaum. He was a married apostle and maybe one of the only, but a married man, possibly had children. He was a fisherman by trade. Converted to Christ by his brother Andrew, who was the first apostle. And Peter was a very unique man. He had some strong characteristics. He was a fisherman, so we know he was a pretty strong man. He was probably a coarse man. He was a man that had dirt under his fingernails. This was a working man, and it was a hard way to make a living. But Peter was a very impulsive man. He was a very rash man. He probably had somewhat of a temper. He had a very hasty tongue, we know that. Oftentimes talking before he really thought things out. Possibly somewhat sarcastic, but he was a man that worked. He was a man of the world. But he was the man that made the greatest confession of Christ that we have recorded in the Bible, where he said to Jesus, "My Lord, the Son of God, my Lord, the Son of the living God," when he described in Matthew 16:16 who Jesus was, my Lord and my God. But he was also a man that made one of the most cowardly denials of Christ at the crucifixion that we also have recorded in the Bible. And this could have been catastrophic for this man. But when he realized what he did, he repented of it, he confessed of it. He went and began to do the right thing, and the Apostle Peter made a tremendous apostle, a very strong advocate for the Lord. The Bible tells us that he died a martyr in Rome, crucified head down so that he would not take away from the glory of Christ. A very devoted man to Jesus Christ and as an apostle. He was also part of a very special group of men that was very close to Jesus. And when Jesus is mentioned with the apostles, it's usually Jesus was with a group of Peter, James, and John. James was the next apostle. He was the son of Zebedee. His father and his brother owned some fishing boats, and they hired people again. These were working people. These were probably pretty good-sized men. These were men that were a little rough around the edges. These were not those that sat in a cubicle around the computer all day long, but these were men that worked and knew the value of work for a living. They were probably a little better off than maybe some of the other apostles because they did have some wealth and their fishing boats and they hired people, but they were very ordinary type people. They were not dashing, they were not dramatic, they were not people that would really stand out in a crowd, but they were very special to the Lord Christ. Peter, James, and John, they were present at the Transfiguration. James was present when Peter's mother-in-law was healed. They were very strong and devoted to Jesus. But these men, just like people today, had some human frailties. They had some human weaknesses. They were known as the sons of thunder. They had a quick temper. They had a very quick temper. Depending on how they directed this anger, they did have some anger management. When they say, I'll call it the sons of thunder, I'm sure that old Zebedee, their father, was probably of a very, maybe of the same ilk. But they did have a great temper. There was a time when they called down fire from God on Samaria because they refused to let Jesus stay the night. These were strong men. These were opinionated men, and these were men that worked, and nobody gave them anything. They were real men. But sometimes they channeled their anger in the wrong way. Also pretty ambitious to have what they had and the wealth that they had. Herod hated James because as an apostle, he was a leader of the Jerusalem church. And Herod wanted to destroy the Jerusalem church. He wanted to destroy all of Christianity. And James was one of the leaders. He hated him. And because of the hatred that he had for James, we're told that he was chopped in half by Herod. Became the first martyr for Christianity, 30s or 40s. Probably wrote the epistle of James. But a man that had weaknesses, but a man that was devoted and was able to just come forward and stand forward and do a superhuman job that the Lord had given him. His brother John, referred to as John the Beloved, also a son of thunder, also a man as James that was probably a pretty powerful man, probably a pretty strong man. And we know that because of the name that he got from his daddy, he probably had a temper. We know that he was pretty loud because there is a case when John saw an individual casting out demons in the name of Jesus, the Bible said that he loudly ordered him to cease and reported the actions of this man to Christ. May have been just a little bit self-important there when they first started this ministry. He was in the inner circle with Christ. Possibly a little bit of self-importance here. Something that, again, one of these frailties of humanity that he has to deal with. But we find at the Last Supper, when Jesus comes around with that bowl of water and begins to wash the apostles' feet, I think that John the Beloved got a real, real case, a real example of humility, and probably changed a whole lot about the way the man thought and the things that he did for the rest of his life. He was sent to the infant church at Samaria to teach and lead. He was very creative in his writing. He was a good author, and because of this, he wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote John 1, 2, 3, and also the Revelation letter. And the main theme that John wrote about was love. Love of Jesus, love of God, love of the fellowship, love of the brethren, and love for humanity, known as John the Beloved. And he lived to be an old, old man and died a natural death. Only one of the apostles, of 14 of them, that died a natural death and was not martyred for their beliefs. And then we've got Andrew. This was the first apostle that was chosen. He was the brother of Peter. He also was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. He also was a very strong man. He was a big man. He was a plain man. He was a practical man. He was a modest man. He was a man of decision and a man that didn't mix a lot of words. But you know, he never was able to preach like his brother Peter. And he never really wanted to teach to the multitudes like Peter. He was a better teacher on an individual basis. You know, he couldn't write like Matthew. He certainly didn't travel like Paul. He was not a creative writer such as John. He was a very humble and a very ordinary man. But he was a man of action. He was not a man of talk. He was a man that converted Peter. And he was a man that had many conversions in his life. He would rather teach individually than collectively. He was a man, even though he was big and strong, he was a man that was humble. And although he was overshadowed every day by his little brother Peter, he was never jealous of Peter, but he was proud of him and what he had done. The Andrew's name in Greek means manly or brave. And the Bible tells us that he died in Petra in Achaia, where he was tied, not nailed, but tied to an X-shaped cross because they wanted to prolong his agony as long and as much as possible. And it must have been a terrible death for the Apostle Andrew to be tied to this cross and to be put outside in the elements and to die in such a horrific way. But he did it because of his beliefs and his teaching as an apostle. And then there was Philip. As I read and studied a little bit about Philip, I see an old West Texas country boy here. He's kind of unique in the way he is. He came from northern Galilee. He lived in Bethsaida. He was a fisherman, and he lived in a fisherman's quarter. And he was a fisherman by trade, which again, he was a pretty rough old boy. He was a little rough around the edges. He was a little bit crude, probably very plain-spoken in the ways that he talked and the things that he did. But Philip was a very practical man. When they talked about feeding the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he was the one that came up that really this was a very impractical thing to think about because it was something that could not be done. He was a skeptical type man. He saw things in black or white, and there was not a whole lot of give in this man, Philip. But he introduced a lot of people to Christ. He was a very good, he was very loyal, and he was a very productive apostle. He even was able to convert his fellow skeptic, a man by the name of Nathanael. Tradition says that he died as a martyr in Greece. Nathanael, Bartholomew was his nickname. Or the name that he went by, Nathanael Bartholomew. Again, this was a man that was probably as skeptical as anybody we're ever going to find. We could probably call him cynical. He's the one that asked when he heard about Jesus, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So he was a very opinionated type guy. He had his own voice. Bartholomew means son of Talma, and he was the son of his daddy Talma. He lived in Cana of Galilee. He was a man of very strong conviction. He was a man that was very opinionated. And he was a man that wanted proof of things. He wanted to understand what was going on. Also, as I read about Nathanael, it seemed that probably this guy was quite a few steps above everyone else, maybe on the IQ scale. Maybe a very intelligent man that was able to figure things out. But he was also a man of sincerity, but he was also a man that had that thought on a pretty deep level. After the crucifixion, Nathanael was really broken up about this. And the Bible says that he just gave up everything that he knew there. Jesus was dead. It was over. And he went back to Capernaum, and he crawled back on this boat, and he was going to be a fisherman. That was what he was. That's what he was going to do. But he said after not very long, he began to think about what was going on, and he realized that he was not a fisherman any longer, because he had seen greater things. The Bible says that he came back to Jerusalem and he was a pillar in the founding of the church, and he saw the resurrected Jesus. According to tradition, he was flayed to death in Armenia while on a missionary trip in this area. Now, when it says flayed, does that mean whipped to death? It could be flayed. He could be flayed with a knife or some other type of instrument. But a very cruel and a barbarous death that Nathanael, this very intelligent, committed, devoted apostle, had to deal with at the end of his life. And then we've got Thomas, known as Didymus, but he was nicknamed Doubting Thomas, and nicknamed that for a very good reason. He was from Galilee. This was a man that after he heard that Jesus had been persecuted and crucified and came back, he says, I'm not going to believe that he was Jesus until I stick my hand in his side and I see the nail prints in his hand. So when Jesus finally saw Thomas, Doubting Thomas, he came up and pulled his shirt up, held his hands up, and he said, here's your proof. At which time, he made the statement after seeing, he said, my Lord and my God. And I think from that point on, he was up. This was the commitment that he had been looking for. The Bible says that he became a very strong and a devoted worker in Christianity. He was not much of a talker, I understand, from my tradition. But Thomas was a doer, a man that was very plain spoken, a man that was very straight thinking. And again, this was a working man. This was a man that had an opinion of how things were. And he was not afraid to make his statements known. In fact, the writer, as I was reading about, said that he was a man that was very blunt and asked many questions. Traditions say that he labored in Persia, and he labored in India, and he died as a martyr in India. Matthew, the tax collector, the publican, the man that called himself a publican and a tax collector, son of Alphaeus, he lived in Capernaum, and he collected taxes from the Jews to send to the Roman government. He was about equal to a bootlegger, I guess, in social standing, a gambler, somebody in the mafia. The lowest dregs of humanity is what they thought of the tax collectors because they hated them as much as they hated the Romans. Probably a very wealthy man, most tax collectors were. And we know that when Jesus found Matthew, and Matthew had a big party, he had the authority, he had the ability and the wherewithal to throw a big party in a big house and bring a lot of people together, and in turn was able to introduce them to Christ. He was a very responsible person. He told others about Jesus. He was a good businessman. He knew the Roman law, which was another very important thing about Matthew. He was a meticulous note taker, but he was also an honest man, and he was an humble man, and he was a man that was totally and completely devoted to Jesus Christ. He always referred to himself as a publican. He didn't try and sugarcoat anything, but he referred to himself just as the people did, as a publican. Tradition said that he died a martyr's death in Ethiopia, but he was able to write. He was rewarded by giving the position of writing the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, a tremendous and a very talented writer. And this brings us to James, the son of Alphaeus. Some think that maybe it was a brother to Matthew because Matthew's daddy's name was also Alphaeus, whether it was the same man or whether it was a different man, but he was known as James, the son of Alphaeus. He was also known as James the Little and known as James the Lesser because nobody wanted to confuse him with James, the son of Zebedee and the son of Thunder and the brother of John. They were very outgoing. They were very dramatic. They were great speakers. They were seen and they were known. Whereas James the Little, the Bible doesn't tell us one thing about James the Little except he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, tradition says that he preached in Palestine and Egypt and that he was martyred in Egypt. But I remember back in 77 when I was looking at this and I was reading several references that there was a reference made about James the Lesser. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know if it was true. I can't tell you anything about it except I remember it explicitly when the man that I was reading about wrote of James the Lesser. And here's the story that he told. And man, James the Lesser is a hero. And he's a man that, I've spoken about this before, he was an outstanding individual. But this man in his writings was saying that a tradition that he had heard or read about said that one time, and I suppose this was in Egypt, because this is where the Bible tells, or the Bible where secular history tells us that he was martyred. But he was talking to a group of men and telling them about Jesus, and they didn't want to hear it. But he continued to talk, and he continued to tell them, and the more he talked, the less they wanted to hear it. And finally, they got to the point they didn't want to hear anymore, and they picked old James the Lesser up, and they took him over and threw him down a hill. And he rolled to the bottom of the hill. At which time he got up, he dusted himself off, and he started right back up that hill preaching Jesus to them even louder than he was preaching before they threw him down the hill. And they blew up on him. And they picked up stones. And they picked up rocks. And a whole group of them began to throw rocks at James. They hit him with a hailstone. A hailstorm of stones. Until finally the fatal stone hit. And James the Lesser fell over dead. He said that tradition says that when they prepared him for burial, that he was bloodied from the top of his head, bruised and cut to the very tip of his toes, but said when they turned him over, there was not one mark found on his back. Now, you want an epitaph for a tombstone? That's it. Bloodied from head to toe on the front, but not one bruise on his back. James the Lesser, that's all we know about him. I hope that story is true because he's my hero. Whether it is or not, that's the story I read. And then there was Jude, also known as Thaddeus and Lebius. His real name was Judas. He was the son of James, and he was nicknamed twice. Thaddeus, meaning courageous or bold. Lebius, meaning hardy or the hardy one. A very strong and responsible, opinionated apostle for Christ. Tradition says that he went into northeast Turkey to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ, and into southern Russia to deliver the gospel. He healed the sick, he created congregations, he courageously lived up to his nickname of a hardy one, a bold one, a courageous man, until he was shot by arrows and died a martyr in Persia. Simon the Zealot. This is not the man you would think of as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Simon was a warrior. Simon was a fighter. Simon was a military man. He was a member of the Zealots, which was a band of guerrilla fighters that were pledged, Jews that were pledged to drive the Romans out of Israel. It was a Jewish underground. Now these guys were mean and these guys were vicious and they were dedicated to destroy the Romans. He was from Galilee, a very adventurous man, a man that was very strong, a man that was tough, a man that was courageous, and certainly not someone that you would really think would ever make an apostle of Jesus Christ. Probably a very emotional man to be involved in such a thing as Zealots, and he took this emotion and funneled it into Christianity and to being an apostle of Jesus Christ, a man of cause. Tradition said that he was crucified because of his devotion to Jesus Christ. And then there's Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, home of Corinth of Judea, which was south of Jerusalem. The name Judas, which was a very popular name back at the time of Judas, until Judas did what he did, and the name became then associated with that of a traitor. But at the start of his career, he was a very strong man. A man of excellent traits is what I understand. He was a man of depth. He was a man of feeling. He was a man that maybe had higher ideals than a lot of other people did. Maybe a little higher in the IQ number. A man that was trustworthy and honest. He was the treasurer for the group. He was trusting. Judas was, at the beginning, was a very good apostle, but his weakness was his downfall, and Luke would believe it was, and John said that Satan entered into Judas and destroyed him. Probably Judas was disappointed in Jesus as a king because He probably wanted some strong king to come in, and the Fugitives hated Romans and get them out of Israel. But he betrayed Christ. He betrayed Christ. He gave him away. And then he realized what he had done, and he took the silver back and threw it back. And he repented. He was sorry. But then he went out and committed suicide. He hung himself and was never able to get the pardon that he needed for that last sin. Peter repented when he was wrong. Judas went out and committed the sin that after he died, he couldn't be forgiven for because he couldn't ask for forgiveness. And then we have Matthias. Matthias was with this group. They say that a lot of people thought he was almost an apostle anyway. He was always with this group. He was a witness to the ministry, to the death, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after Judas was killed himself, they held a little meeting and they cast their lots on two men. One of them was Matthias. And I'm sorry, but I can't remember the other one. But anyway, after they cast their lots on Matthias, they prayed, and then they decided that Matthias would be the one that they chose as their 13th appointment. And he was chosen to replace Judas Iscariot. I found three possible ways he died. One said that he was crucified in Georgia, which is Eastern Europe, in that Ukrainian area where they're fighting right now. Another one said that he preached and died in Ethiopia. And another one said that he was stoned in Jerusalem by the locals and then beheaded for his beliefs in Jesus. There's three choices. That's the three that I found. One of them may be right. We do know that he was martyred for his belief in Jesus. And finally, the last one we talk about is the Apostle Paul, born about the beginning of the Christian era in Taurus, which is in southern Turkey. Son of a Jew, he was a Roman citizen. His Roman name was Paul, his Jewish name was Saul, and he was the strongest and the strictest of the Jews. He was a Pharisee, and he hated Christianity, and he hated Jesus. And he did everything in the world he could to destroy the churches until he was struck down upon the road to Damascus and personally was introduced to Jesus himself, at which time he became a very strong, believing Christian and was baptized and brought into the church. He was a special person that God chose to go and teach unto the Gentiles. He was in prison for several years and finally had his head cut off in about AD 67 for the belief that he had and his devotion to Jesus Christ. These apostles were great men. They did a superhuman, unbelievable job. But they were mere men. They were ordinary, coarser than average, fishermen, workers, some of them more intelligent, some of them more wealthy, most of them just ordinary, everyday people. They had the same shortcomings, they had the same weaknesses, they had the same frailties that we find today, but they had the faith and the conviction and the belief and the devotion to Jesus that they were able to do superhuman work even as a mere mortal. They had faith, conviction, and they were able to do a job that still is in evidence in our world today. They were who they were and what they were because they chose to be. 13 out of 14 died violent, martyred deaths. Only John got to see old age. That's all I got, but I thought that was very interesting. I don't think it hurts us at all to ever go back and look at what these men did and what Christianity can cause. Let's have a song of meditation.